Today's shiur is Masechta Mitzvah Daf Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Ala Asimei Erechot. In the previous shiur, we had learned that Rav Chiya taught us the following rule. He says, we all know the din of Moed B'Mikzas. If somebody confronts me with a claim that I owe him money, and I partially admit, then the halach, the Torah teaches us, with the Raisa, I have to make a shvua. Shvua of Moed B'Mikzas. Rav Chiya discussed what would be the din if I didn't admit that I owe you anything, but there are Edom that support your claim. You say I owe you $100. There are Edom say that I owe you $50. Will the same din of a shvua of Moed B'Mikzas apply? And Rav Chiya said, absolutely. And he said, we learn with a Kal V'Chomer. And what the Gemara was attempting to do, and that's where we start the shiur today, is try to figure out what is that Kal V'Chomer. So the Gemara says, Ala Asya Me'erechot. The way Rav Chiya comes to this conclusion is because he learns it from the din of an Erechot. We all know the halacha is that if somebody comes and says, I owe him money, and he only has one aid to support that claim, I don't have to pay, but I do have to make a shvua midaraisa. Says the Gemara, on my aid echad, if you have an aid echad supporting your claim, sh'ei mechayv imamen, I won't have to pay based on that aid echad, mechayv shvua, but I do have to make a shvua. So certainly in a situation where you have aidim, and if you have aidim, mechayv enoise imamen, then I'll have to pay based on what the aidim say. If Edom can make me have to pay, they certainly can have to make me swear. As the Gemara, the comparison isn't good. Malayd echot sheken amashu meid hu nishba. Time about Edom shemashu kofer hu nishba. Says the Gemara, let's think about it. If you bring an aid that says, I owe you money, so what is the halacha? I have to swear that I don't owe you that money. If you bring two Edom that say that I owe you money, I don't have to swear about that money. I have to pay. What are we discussing? I would have to swear. I would have to swear on the part that they're saying, that or the part that they're not talking about. Now let's say again our example. You say I owe you $100. You bring two Edom that I owe you $50. I have to pay the $50. The question now is, do I have to swear on the other $50? So the shvur that's made to an eid echad is not the same shvur that's made to two eidim. So how can we learn the halacha, says the Gemara, of two eidim from the shvur of one eid when it's two different shvurs? That's what the Gemara says. Me'el eid echad sheken amashu hu meiru nishba. By an echad, I swear to speak to what he's saying. He says I owe the money and I have to swear that I don't. Talking about eidim, Shemashu kafir hu nishba. There I swear on the part that I'm denying, not on the part that they're saying. Says the Gemara. So we're back to where we started. How do we know the halacha that there's a shvu of moed b'mikzas even when you have edim? Rav Chiya's din. El amra papa osim gilgul shvu de'erechad. There's a halacha of gilgul shvu. The Torah teaches us by the parasha of Saita. That if a man brings his wife, goes through a whole process, we learned Masechta Saita, and his wife is identified as a Saita, and when she comes to the Beis HaMikdash, she has to swear that she didn't have an adulterous relationship. And the Torah uses the word Amen V'Amen. She says Amen twice. And the Gemara we learned in Masechta Saita says Amen Me'izeh, Amen Me'ishacher. That once she's swearing, she doesn't only swear regarding this specific individual, but that she never had an adulterous relationship. That is known as a Gilgul Shvur. The halacha is the same as by Eid Echad. If an Eid Echad supports your claim, so not only do I have to swear to what the Eid Echad is saying, I have to even swear to all of your claims. So we see that I make a Shvur even to not what the Eid Echad is speaking about. Similar to the case of Tuedim. El Mal Gilgul Shvur de Eid Echad, Shekain, El Amar Papa Asma Gilgul Shvur de Eid Echad. That's how we learn it. Interesting question that the Rishayim discuss. How do we learn the halacha of Gilgul Shvur? Does Gilgul Shvur say that if you have two claims against me, and on one claim you have an Eid Echad, the other claim you don't, So does Gilgal Shvuah say that you could take this opportunity and not only on the claim that you have an Eid Echad make me swear, but even on the claim that you don't have an Eid Echad, but let's say you won't seize that opportunity, I won't have to swear, or suggest the Rishonim that Gilgal Shvuah is automatic. And once you have an Eid Echad supporting some of your claims, or one of your claims even, and I have to swear, then automatically, even without you demanding it, I have to swear. But back to our Gemara. Says the Gemara, you can't learn from Gilgal Shvuah. El Mal Gilgal Shvuah Eid Echad, when we speak about Gilgal Shvuah, it's not the Eid Echad that creates the situation of Gilgal Shvuah. It's the Shvuah that creates Gilgal Shvuah. Once I'm swearing to you anyway, so I have to swear on everything that you have to claim against me. Sheken Shvuah Gerer Shvuah. It's the Shvuah that creates that I have to swear again. Time of Eidim, the Mammon, Kamechayvi, Be'Eidim, it's not the Shvuah it's the Eidim that make me swear. So what the Gemara is saying is, you can't learn the halacha of two Eidim from Gilgal Shvuah, because Gilgal Shvuah, it's not the Eid that creates the situation, it's the halacha of Gilgal Shvuah that creates the situation. In fact, to the degree that this teretz, that this point that the Gemara makes, is so obvious that I saw Rav Shmuel Rizovsky asks, what was the Gemara's havamina? That it's an Eid Echad that creates the Gilgal Shvuah. So Rav Shmuel Rizovsky, in trying to explain the Gemara's havamina, suggests what the Gemara assumed in the havamina is that we can't compare every Gilgal Shvuah situation. And where the Gilgal Shvuah was created because there was an Eid Echad, it proves to the power of an Eid Echad, to which the Gemara says it has nothing to do with Eid Echad, it has to do with Gilgal Shvuah. So what we're up to at this point is that we have a kasha. What we're up to here is we go back, Rav Chi is telling us that we have a Kal V'Chaymer that teaches us that just like if I admit, Maida B'Mikzas, I have to swear, so too is the halacha, if you have two Eidim that put me into a Maida B'Mikzas situation, that I would have to swear. And there's a Kal V'Chaymer that teaches us that, but we don't know what the Kal V'Chaymer is. So as the Rishonim help us continue understanding the Gemara, and this point that the Rishonim make is not just relevant to this piece of Gemara. The Gemara always prefers that when we have a Kal V'Chaymer to learn one din from another din, a one-to-one relationship. But when we don't have the ability to learn a one-to-one relationship, then we try a one-to-two relationship. Why do we prefer, explain the Rishonim, a one-to-one relationship over a one-to-two relationship? Because a one-to-two relationship, any kasha will break. Any question will break. A one-to-one relationship, it's harder to break. But we have no choice, and now we're going to try to one-to-one relationship. Piv Yechiyach. We're going to go back to what we said before. If through my own admission, I have to swear Maidu and Mixus, certainly through Adam. But what was the problem with that argument, as we learned in the previous year? Malapiv, Sheket Eim B'Chasha. If I admit that I owe you the money, then you could bring 1,000 Eidim that I don't. I still have to pay it. And that will argue Eid Echad Yechiyach. And Eid Echad will prove Sheyesh Nebachosh. If you bring an Eid that I owe you money, but there are two Eidim that argue the Eid Echad is ignored. Sheyesh Nebachosh. And Eid Echad can be contradicted. And yet, Mechayv Shvuah. What was the problem with Eid Echad? As we began today's shir, Mal Eid Echad, Shekein Mal Shoah Meiru Nishba, Be'Eid Eid Echad, I address his claim. Timer be'edim shemau koifer shenishba. Be'edim, I don't address his claim. I address what they're not saying. And that piv yechiyach. By piv also, the shvuah is not what I'm admitting on. It's what I'm not admitting on. So v'chaza hadein, loy rizek rizeh, v'loy rizek rizeh. The situation of edim is not similar to the situation when I admit, partially, nor is it similar to when there's an eid echad. But what is a tzadish shavish behen? What is the common denominator? Shayidei tain of a kfir ibon. That we have a situation that there's a claim and there's a partial admission, v'nishba, and I have to swear, whether it's an eid echad or it's a moidu v'miktsas, afani avi edim, where shayidei tain of a kfir ibon, that there's a claim and there's a partial admission, and there's a partial admission or a partial liability, v'nishba. That's how, says the Gemara, we learn the halacha of Reb Chiya, that by Eidim you swear from a tzad shava of Eid Echad and Piv. Ask the Gemara, Mala tzad shava shvehen, shekein lai huchsa kafrin. If you make a claim to me, let's go very slow. If you make a claim to me that I owe you money, and I make a partial admission, do you have any proof that I'm a liar? Absolutely not. If you have one aide to support your claim, and I deny what he says, am I a confirmed liar? Also, absolutely not. One aide doesn't have power. But if you have two aidim supporting your claim, which I'm arguing, can we argue that I'm a liar? Absolutely. Two aidim are very strong in halacha. So ask the Gemara. This is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara beautifully. By Maida B'Mixas, by an Eid Echad, I haven't been identified as a liar, as a kafirin. So there the Torah could say, make a shvuah. But if I'm arguing with two Eidim, I'm a kafirin. I'm a liar. Maybe the Torah doesn't want me to make shvuahs, because I'm a person that doesn't respect shvuahs. That's what the Gemara says. Malat Sarashov Behen, in the case of an Eid Echad, or in a case of a Maida B'Mixas, Shekein Lehuch Sakafrin, I haven't been confirmed as a liar. Time of Be'edim, whereas Be'edim, Shekein Huch Sakafrin, I've been confirmed as a liar. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Or Be'edim Mehuch Sakafrin, if you claim I owe you money, and you bring to Edim that I owe you money, and I deny it, does that make me into a liar? V'amar Rav Idi Bar Oven, Amar Rav Chizda, HaKoyfer B'Gmilva, if I deny that I owe you money, even if you have Edim to support your claim, I'm still Kashal Edis. I don't become Pasul. Why? Because the Gemara speaks to human nature. We spoke about this just yesterday. Sometimes I don't have the money to pay. And therefore, even though I really owe the money, and really I know I owe the money, I just want to buy time. So just because I say I don't owe you the money doesn't turn me into a liar. Only by Pekodin am I Pasul Edis. So the Gemara is saying, what are you saying? That by Eid Echad and by Piv, I'm not a Kafrin. By Eidim, I am a Kafrin. That isn't true. By Eidim, I'm also not a Kafrin. And the Rishonim go on to say, so maybe now Rav Chiya's din is somewhat limited, and will only say that Eidim have the din of Moed B'Mixas by Milva, not by Pekodin. So Rishonim say, not like that. The Rishonim say, once the din will be by Milva, that you have to swear, the din will remain even by Bekodin, even though the Lomdus doesn't work by Bekodin. But before we go further, the Gemara here has a very important rule. The Gemara says here that if you come to me and say, I was watching something of yours, and you come to me and you say, give me back, and I deny it, and then it turns out I'm a liar, and then it turns out that I was lying, I am considered a kafrin. I'm a apostle aid. So I saw a fascinating shaila that the Masas Ben Yamin discusses. He says there was a neighbor who was traveling away, and he went to his neighbor and he asked him to watch a bag of his while he was away. The neighbor says, fine. The neighbor comes home, takes his bag that I was watching, not me, I don't want to be a ganav, that somebody was watching, and he examines the contents of the bag, says, you know, there was a wallet with a lot of money in this bag. It's missing. And the person who's watching the bag says, I don't know what you're talking about. The neighbor was very upset. He calls the police. Says, this guy stole from me. And the police do an investigation in the house, and they find the wallet with the money. And the person who was watching the money says, I don't know what this is all about. I didn't steal it. My wife maybe did it. My children maybe did it. A hundred excuses. But now we have a real problem, the Masas Ben Yamin says. Because this person who was watching the bag, who's now been identified as a thief, in the interim, between the time that he was watching the bag and the neighbor came back, was an aide on a get. And if he's a posel aide, the get is invalid. And this woman is an Eishes Ishtel. And the question is, what is the status of the get? Because our Gemara just taught us that somebody who's a huchzik kafrin, but bekodin, is posel aides. What would be the din? That's the question the Masas Ben Yamin discusses. So the Masas Ben Yamin says that that's not the case of our Gemara. He says our Gemara is referring to a situation where the person made an outright kfira. You said you left something by me, and I said it never happened. That's called the Huchsa Kafrin. Here, he didn't deny that he was watching. He only spoke about an item in the bag. And that won't be considered Huchsa Kafrin, and the get won't be apostle get. The aid won't be considered apostle aid. So we're back to our Gemara. At this point, for half a second now, till we get into the next line of Gemara, we seem to have found a basis for Reb Chiya's din. The halacha that you have to swear by Edim, Moedim, and Mixus, we learn from Etzara Shava, from Eid Echon and Piv. Ask the Gemara, there's a different question. Mal Etzara Shava Shben, she can't Einem B'Tayrus Hazama. An Eid Echon can't be Muslim. Me myself, if I admit that I owe you money, can't be Muslim. Toimah be'edim, sheyesh na b'teres hazama. And therefore, edim aren't like an eid echad or piv, and you can't learn one from the other. How will Rav Chiya respond to this? Says the Marhal Kasha. Rav Chiya teres hazama leparach. Which means as follows. Rav Chiya says, the fact that eid echad or piv are not subject to Hazama, and Edom are subject to Hazama, is not a question. And the Tzais explains why. The Tzais explains, when we say an Eid Echad is not subject to Hazama, what does that mean? What is the din of Hazama? Well, Mitzvah Shem learned Masech Demakis. The din of Hazama is as follows. V'sisim loy, kashazumam, lasis lochiv. Whatever punishment the Edom want to impose, happens to them. But Eid Echad can't impose punishment. Says the Tzais, it's not that the Eid Echad, says the Tzais in explaining Reb Chiya, it's not that an Eid Echad isn't subject to Hazama. It's subject. It's just a technical difficulty. He wouldn't have created a punishment, so he can't be subject to a punishment. And therefore, says Reb Chiya, it's not that he's excluded, it's just not applicable. And that's why he said that's not a kasha. So I saw the Mefarshim explain, what does Reb Chiya mean? How do I understand Reb Chiya's machlokes with the other man Domer? Beautiful. Why would be the halacha, and I'll give you such an example, that an Eid Echad can make you be subject to a punishment? Let's think about this case. Let's say you have an Eid Echad to support your claim, but I am a person that's a Huchsa Kafrin. I have a history of being a lawyer, so I can't swear. If I can't swear, what is the din? I pay. And then the Eid Echad turns out to be an Eid Zaymim. Will he have to pay the punishment or not? So I want to suggest that that's the machlokes between Rav Chiya and the other Tana. Rav Chiya will hold, of course, that he's subject to Hakash Zomam. Because Rav Chiya doesn't exclude an Eid Echad from the parasha of Eidim Zomamim. It just says that usually it's not applicable. But where it is, it is. The other Tana says Eid Echad is completely excluded, and therefore you can't learn Eidim from Eid Echad. Now, we've been learning a fantastic sugya, but there's only a question. How does it get to Masechta Bava Metzia? So the Gemara said yesterday, the reason this all came in here was because the Gemara suggested that what is the basis of Rav Chiya's psak, what we learned in the Mishnah. Because the Tana, we learned our Mishnah, which the Gemara suggested is a case of Moedim and Mitzvahs with Edim. Why? Because we're both holding a talis. So there's a non-sadi that the part that I'm holding is mine. The part that you're holding is yours, and yet the Mishnah requires a shvua. So we see that even with Edim, there's a shvua of Moedim and Mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, I don't understand that. Mi dami, hasam lemalve islei sahadi, leloiv leslei sahadi. When you come with a claim to me that I owe you money, and you have Edim to say at least I'm part of the claim, and I have no response, that's the case Reb Chiya has been discussing. Lamalve isle sahadi, Laloiva lesle sahadi, Deloy masik veloy midi. Laloiva has no edim that he doesn't owe anything. Do you have le sahadi, Laloiva? Because if Laloiva indeed had edim, Deloy masik veloy midi, that he doesn't owe anything, Laibai Rav Chiya l'shtabui, then I wouldn't, even Rav Chiya would agree that Laloiva doesn't have to swear. However, in our Mishnah, we both have an anan sahadi. Each one has an anan sahadi on the part that he's holding. Hocho, kehechad anan sahadi lahai, anan sahadi lahai. But feel hocho mishtabai. So obviously our Mishnah is not referring to a situation of moedim and mixes. Rather, how do we understand our Mishnah? Goes back to what we learned in Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Our Mishnah speaks about a special type of shvuah that Rabbi Yochanan instituted. We learned the Gemara on daf gimel amun alef, shvu zut hakonef chachamhi, shlo yikol echav echad choylich v'toyke b'taleis shchaveroi, and has nothing to do with moedah and mixas. And that's what the Gemara is saying now. We wanted to suggest that our Mishnah is a proof to Abchiyah's din, but now we've proven that our Mishnah has nothing to do with moedah and mixas. Ella, says the Gemara, but we see that Abchiyah did say that our Mishnah is the basis of a din. To what din is our Mishnah a basis? El ki itma v'tana tuna, a'idach de Rav Chiya itma. It's referring to different than Rav Chiya said. Dar Rav Chiya, mana li biyotcha. Let's say there's a situation like this, where you come to me and say, I owe you $100. V'lo ama en li biyadi ela nunzos. I say, no, I only owe $50. However, I add one statement, v'helich, and here they are. Here's the $50 I owe you. The loch is chayiv. Rav Chiya says the fact that I'm ready to put the $50 down on the table doesn't change that from being a moedah b'mitzvah. My tama, because according to Rabbi Chiya, halach, even in a situation of halach, to moedah b'mitzvah hatayin adami, doesn't change it from being a situation of moedah b'mitzvah, where the Torah mandates a shvua. Now goes Rav Chiya with a step further, v'tana tuna. He says, our Mishnah proves that case, because our Mishnah spoke about a case of Shnaim Oichs Metalis, both of us are holding the talis, V'hocha Kim the Tophis, the part that I'm holding, Anan Sadi, the Mai the Tophis Eiluchu, on the part that I'm holding, it's right in front of me, and still, V'ktani Yishavu. Ask the Rishonim the obvious question that I'm sure you're all thinking about. You're trying to prove that our Mishnah is speaking about a case of Moedah B'mitzvah and Heilach, and you still have to swear. The previous piece of Gemara just proved that our Mishnah has nothing to do with Moedah B'mitzvah. That our Mishnah has to do with the special takon of Rabbi Yochanan. So how are we using our Mishnah to talk about Moedah B'mitzvah? How are we trying to use our Mishnah to teach us the halachas of Moedah B'mitzvah when we just finished saying that our Mishnah has nothing to do with Moedah B'mitzvah? The Valdei Gekashya that the Rishonim asked. And the Rishonim, and many times I say, sometimes the question is better than the answer. I think this is one of these situations. They say that we have to suggest that this Gemara was not learnt after the previous Gemara. It was learnt before the previous Gemara. It was before that we proved that our Mishnah has nothing to do with Moedah B'mitzvah. Rav Sheshes disagrees. Heilich Potter. What does Rav Sheshes say? Rav Sheshes says, if you come to me and you say, I owe you $100, and I say, yes, I owe you $50, and I even put down the $50, that isn't the situation of Moedah B'mitzvah. My Tama, Kivin the Omelei Heilich, once I'm willing to give the $50, Hani Zuzi the Komoide B'gavayu, command the Mok Le Milvedami. The money I put on the table is as if it's already paid up. Be'ne Chamishi, so what's left to discuss is the other 50. Holei Moide, I don't agree that I pay, owe them. That's a Kaifa Akol. Hika Leka Mok Satayna. So the way that we show them explain the concept of Heilich, let's work this through together. The Rishonim explained the concept of Heilich in the following way. If you come and you say, I owe you $100, and I admit that I owe you $50, I don't only admit that I owe you $50, I put the $50 on the table. What happens here? The $50 that I pay you are off the table. They're off the discussion. So what's left to talk about? Just the other 50. The other 50, I'm a Kaifer HaKol. Midaraisa, there's no shvu by Kaifer HaKol. And there's some the Pnei Yeshua, not Rishonim, the Pnei Yeshua wants to suggest that in the case where it's not just that I admit to the money, but I put the money down on the table, perhaps even Rav Chiya will agree that there's no Moedah B'mitzvah. Because that $50 is off the table. It's off the conversation. Others disagree. So what is the case that they argue Rav Chiya and Rav Sheshes? So Ritva says as follows. In a case of Bikadin, where you come in and say, let's use this case, that I was holding two cows of yours, and I say, I was only holding one, and I admit to that one. Rav Sheshes says, that's a case of Heilich. Rav Chiya says, if I didn't have the cow here, it's not Heilich. The Rishonim debate, what would be the Halach in the following case? You say, I owe you $100. I admit that I owe you $50. Not only do I admit I owe you $50, I say, you know, $50 to $100 that I borrowed from you, I never spent. Will that be like a pikadon? Because I say I owe it to you. It's no different than the cow that I agree I owe. was a pikadin and milva different? Because by milva we always have the concept of milvaloi tzadnetnu. That's a machlokus rishonim, if Rav Sheish will consider that halach or not. One more important point that I saw that the place can make. Knowledge is sometimes dangerous. Meaning as follows. We all learn from when we're young, Maidah mixes, you have to swear. Rav Sheish has just taught us a tremendous exception to that rule called halach. So let's say somebody learns this Gemara and he knows that by being Maidah b'mitzvahs, which typically would make me be mechuyev v'shvua, add the element of halach and I won't have to swear. Says the Paiskim that if somebody is obviously using halach just for the purpose of avoiding a shvua, even Rav Sheshes will agree that halach doesn't exempt you from the shvua. It's only in a situation where the person, either he doesn't know or he's obviously being honest, Rav Sheshes holds that it's not considered a situation of halach. Ask the Gemara, or Rav Sheshes Kashim Ashnisen, but isn't our Mishnah, as we just said, a proof that it's a situation of halach and you still have to swear? Says Rav Sheshes, Amach Rav Sheshes, responds Rav Sheshes, as we said earlier, our Mishnah Shvu is not because of Moedim Mixes, Masnisen Takonas Chachomi. It's only a Takonas Chachomim of Rav Yoichron, Shloi Kolecher Hoylech Vatoykev Talesu Shechaveirai. Ask the Gemara, now Rav Chi is difficult. If, how did Rav Chi prove that Yechayev Behelech, our Mishnah? But now we're saying that everybody recognizes that our Mishnah has nothing to do with Moedim Mixes. So how is he using our Mishnah to prove what is the rule by Maidu Mixas? Vidach, in, agrees Rav Chia. Yes, the purpose of our, the reason you swear in our Mishnah is Takonas Chachamihi, Umiyu, however. E Amrit Midashlama Midaraisa, Halach Chayiv. If we say in a situation of Halach, Yechayiv Eshvu Midaraisa, or Maidu Mixas, says Rav Chia, the Rabbanon, when they make a Gzeira, fashion it after the deraisa. Mesakni rabbonin shvu kein the deraisa. It should be patterned after the shvu deraisa. Eli amrit mideraisa helich potter. If you're going to say mideraisa helich is potter, is the question mesakni rabbonin shvua the lace the kavasei mideraisa? Would rabbonin create such a shvua? If there's no precedent mideraisa, the rabbonin would have never made such a shvua. Meisvei asked the Gemara. Saloyim Dinrim. There's a document that says I owe you money. The document was written very foolishly. The document says I owe you dollars. Saloyim, I owe you dollars. Dinrim, it doesn't say how many. So Malva Oimer, the Malva says I owe you Chamesh. I owe you five Saloyim. Loiva Oimer, the Loiva says Shalosh. I only owe you three. Rashim Ben Elazar Oimer, Rashim Ben Elazar says Hoyel V'hoyde Mixes Taina. This is a situation of Maidim Mixes. You say five, I say three, and the Loch is Yeshava. Rav Kiva Omer, En El Kamesh of Aveda. And we're going to learn the Gemara, like Rashi learns the Gemara, to keep it simple. If there's a document that says I owe you Slom, and again, as I said a moment ago, the document wasn't written well, because the document should have spelled out how many Slom I owe you. But if the document just says the word Slom, How many slime would I owe you? Two. Because the minimum slime is two. I'm a very fine person, says Rabbi Kiva. I didn't say I only owe you two. I admitted I owe you three. Says Rabbi Kiva, the document supports that I only owe two. That's what the document poshed. That's how I have to read the document. By me going and admitting that I owe you three, I'm like the Meshav Aveda that we discussed in the previous year. What is the din of a Meshav Aveda? The din of a Meshav Aveda is that let's say I find your wallet and a fine person, I return your wallet. You open your wallet and you say there's money missing. If I'm going to have to swear, I'll never return a wallet again. Same thing here. If by saying three, I'm going to be considered a Maidah B'mixas, says Rabbi Kiva, I'll never say three. I'll say two and I'll say that's what the Shtar supports and case closed. That's the machloikas of Shem ben Elazar and Rekiva according to Rashi. Rekiva ayma ena el kamesh aveda potter. Drills down the Gemara. Ptonimius. What did Shem ben Elazar say? Shem ben Elazar aymer, hoy of moida mixes ataina. Since you said five I said three, it's considered a situation of Maida Mixus and Yeshava. Why? Tamad Amishalish. It's only because I said three. What would have been Hashtayim? What would be the case if I would have admitted that I'm only owe you two? I would be Potter. Let's think about this. For Hashtayim the Kamaidabe, if I say that I owe you two, that the Gemara is now suggesting that if I say I owe two, which the Shtar supports that contention, I wouldn't have to swear. So that's a case of Halach. Because since it's written into the Shtar, and we're going to discuss this more in tomorrow's year, any obligation that's written into the Shtar, you can mortgage my property. So it's automatically a situation of Halach. And the Gemara is suggesting that even Rav Shimon ben Elazar would agree that if I said two, it wouldn't be considered Maida B'mitzvah. Shema min ha'Halach Potter. But now we have an obvious question. Tosfos asked this question on Amud Aleph on the bottom. If we're saying now a very interesting situation, that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, if I would have said two, I wouldn't have to swear. It wouldn't be considered Maida B'mitzvah. If I said three, I would have to swear. So why would anybody want to say three and cost them a shvua? Says Tosfos, a person is not going to say two because it's a migud ha'azah. He knows he owes more, and therefore we don't accept that as a migud. Says the Gemara Loi, La'olam em lach shtayim chayiv. I'll argue that Rav Shimon ben Elazar said that even if I said two, I would have to swear, because there is no exemption of halach. So why did he speak about the case of three? He should have said that even if I say two, I'll have to swear. V'haydik tani shalosh. Why did Rav Shimon ben Elazar choose to speak about a case where I admitted I owed three? L'fukim et Rav Akiva. Because Rav Shimon ben Elazar wants to point out the difference between him and Rav Akiva. The Rav Akiva holds that when I say three, I'm considered a meshiv aveidahu upater. Kamash Malan teaches us Rav Shimon ben Elazar that I don't agree with Rav Akiva, and I hold the Maida B'mitzvah Satayinah Hivachayiv. That's not considered a Mesha Aveda, it's considered a Maida B'mitzvah, and you have to make a Shvua. Ask the Gemara, so the way we're learning now, Rav Shimon ben Elazar holds, whether I say two, or whether I say three, I'm a Maida B'mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, then the wording of Rav Shimon ben Elazar in the Brice is difficult. Yehachi Rav Shimon ben Elazar Oimer, Hoyel V'hoy D'mitzvah Satani Yeshava, he should have said, Afzei Yeshava Mibaylei, that even in the case of three, not only in the case of two, am I considered a Maida B'mitzvah, but even in the case of three. El Oilam, we say Shtayim is Potter. The Halach is Chayif. So if so, why over here are you Potter? V'shani Hoche, here's a special situation. The Komasai Leishtar. The Shtar backs up this contention, and that's why it's not a regular situation of Maida B'mitzvah. Inami, Vishum, Dav Leishtar, Shib Kakos, any loan document that's committed to writing includes a lien on all of my property, and the halacha is ve'enish bon al kfir shibik kakos. You never have to swear when there's karka involved. Ika de moisev misefa. Very similar gemara, just going from the opposite direction. Rav Kiva Omer, Rav Kiva said, ein el kamesha aveda, that if you say I owe you five, and I say I owe you three, I'm in the category of a Mesha or a Veda, and that's why part that I don't have to swear. So what does Rabbi Kiva seem to be saying? Tam Adam Shalish, because I admit to three. Hoshtayim, if I would only say that I owe two, then I chayiv. I would have to swear Moida Mixus. Ask the Gemara, for a Shtar, since we're dealing with a Shtar, isn't that a situation of Halach Dami? And yet we see that Rabbi Kiva holds that I will have to swear a taina moed of a mixus, even by a halach. Isn't this a proof that shmamino, the halach is chayif? Answers him are loy. Loy lama emelach, we could say shtami nami potter. That even by two, I'm potter. So even if by two I don't have to swear, why did Rabbi Kiva choose to speak about three? For hodik tani shalish, the reason Rabbi Kiva chose to speak about a case that I agreed that I owe three sloim, lefukim and Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Shimon ben Elazar said that even by three, I'm a moedim mixes, mid lefukim and Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Dav a moedim mixes, satan have a v'chayiv, kamash malon. That's why he teaches us the Meisha Aveda Hava Upotam. Says the Gemara, Hochinam Mestabra. That's what it makes sense to say. This Alkadatach, if we're going to say that Rabbi Akiva holds, that only by three am I of Meisha Aveda and I'm Potter, but Shtayim is Chayiv. So the question is, B'Sholosh Sheikh Potter Rabbi Akiva. How could Rabbi Akiva ever call me by Sholosh that when I admit I owe Sloim that I'm a Meisha Aveda? We should always argue, Hai Arume Kamarim. I'm specifically cheating. I'm going to say, because I'm thinking, that if I say two, I'll have to swear, because I'm a Maidah Mimixis. That's why I specifically say Sholosh to save the Shvua. To have a commensurate Veda of Ifta. El Shmamina. From here we see, Shtayim Nami Potter. That even by Shtayim, it's considered a situation of Halach, and the Halach is, Rabbi Akiva is teaching us that by Halach it's not considered a Maidah Mimixis that I have to swear. Ela kasha Rav Chiya, but now Rav Chiya's position is very difficult because Rav Chiya says that by moed b'mixus and heilach yichayiv, and here we just prove by moed b'mixus and heilach yipater. Says the Gemara Shani Hasam, as we said before, you can't bring a raya from this case to the din of heilach because here the shtar backs up the contention of two. Shani Hasam, the Kamasayim Leishtara, the star backs up my claim that I only owe two sloim. Inami, or as we said earlier, Mishum Nav Leishtar Shibit Kakos, wherever the loan is committed to writing, the property becomes, all of my property becomes mortgaged, and the loch is, Veinishban Al Shibit Kakos, you never have to swear in that case. Ask the Gemara, Mosem Azutra, Bereid Ram Nachman, the Mishnah says, Im Sech Teshvus. Tanu kelim v'kakos. You come to me and you say, I owe you both vessels and property. Hoide v'kelim, and I admit that I owe you kelim, v'kof v'kakos, and I deny that I owe you any property. Or vice versa. Hoide v'kakos, I admit that I owe you property, v'kof v'kelim, but I deny I owe you kelim. Potter. In both of these cases, I don't have to swear. However, because there's a karka element here, karka and kelim are considered two separate issues, and it's not considered Maidah B'mixas. They're two separate issues. Another din. Let's say you say I owe you two properties, and I only admit to one property. Hoy the mixa kakos. I only admit to one property. I'm still potter. Why? Because we kept on learning the Gemara. That you never swear on property. Mixas kalim. Let's say you say I owe you two vessels, and I say I only owe you one keli. That's a classical case of Maidah B'mixas. I have to make a shvua. Now drills down the Gemara into that shvua. Tam of the kelim v'kakos. In a situation where there was kelim v'kakos, the karka la bas shvui, her kelim v'kelim, dumya the kelim v'kakos. If we would have a similar situation of two kelim to the case of kelim v'kakos, chayif, I would still have to make a shvua. Now, what is the similar situation of kelim v'kelim to kelim v'kakos? Lav the amalei helich, because by karka, as we said before, by definition, karka is always helich. Because I say, take the property. Vishmamina, isn't that a Mishnah proof that helich yechayiv to make a shvua moedav mixus? Says the Gemara loy. Loylam emaloch kelim v'kelim nami potter. If it were a situation of kelim v'kelim, in a situation of helich, it's not considered moedav mixus, and I don't have to swear. V'hoduk tani. So why did the Mishnah choose to teach us Kalim v'Kakos? The Mishnah could have even taught us a bigger din. The Kalim v'Kalim, in circumstances of Halach, I don't have to swear. For Hadat Tani Kalim v'Kakos, Hok Mashmat, because the Mishnah is teaching us, Hoidim mixes Kalim, Chai v'Afa Kakos. What would be the din? If you come to me and you say that I owe you two Kalim and property. So, and I admit to one keli. The halacha is that since I'm going to have to swear on the other keli, because that's a keli, and there's no halach. I'm going to have to swear because it's a might of a mixus. The halacha is that then, even though as we've been learning this whole amid, you don't make a shvur on karka, on that karka you'll have to swear. V'hadu toni kelim v'kakos, ha k'mashmon. Hoidu v'mixus kelim, chayv alfa kakos. My k'mashmon, because what is the lesson that we're learning? Zoykikin. Which is really what we learned at the beginning of this year, of Gilgul Shvua. That even though normally you don't swear on Karka, in a situation that I'm swearing anyway, because I have to swear in the Kalim, then we have Gilgal Shvua even on the Karka. Tanya, ask the Gemara Tanina. That's a Mishnah that we're going to learn in our Mishnah, in our Masechta, that says, Zoykikim and Nechosim, Shein Lamechayis, as Nechosim Shein Lamechayis, that once you swear on the Kalim, even though normally you don't swear on Karka, here you will have to swear on Karka because of Gilgal Shvua, answers the Gemara. Zoykikim and Nechosim Shein Lamechayis, as Nechosim Shein Lamechayis, Lishavaleim, answers the Gemara, Hosim Iker. Hachi Iker. The main subject where this is taught is in Masechta Kedushin. Hosom, the Mishnah Masechta Shvuas, yes, really doesn't have to teach us that din. Because that din is a din that we already know from Masechta Kedushin. But once we're speaking about certain Hilchos Shvuas that I do need to learn in Masechta Shvuas, Agav Gror and Asba, we learn this halacha also, even though it's not a new halacha, the halacha of Gilgal Shvuah, what we began the shir with. That if I'm swearing on Kalim, even though normally I don't swear on Karka, I will swear on Karka because of Goyrin, because of Gilgal Shvuah.